Indeed, Lord. Indeed, our God, it is true. It is our desire to see the world filled with your glory. To see your church, O God, also filled with the knowledge of truth. It is our desire, Lord. It is our heart to see the world worship you in truth and in spirit. For that is the reason, O God, you came into the world, that those who worship idols, those who did not know God, those who followed the works of their hearts, the sinful desires of the flesh, now they can come and glory in Christ. Now they can see that there is one God who deserves all the honor and the worship. So we come before you, O God, for the very, very reason, our God, this morning. We ask you to speak to us, show us Christ, point us to Jesus again and again. Give us utterance to speak your word. Give us the ear and the eyes to see, O God, the truth that comes from your altar this morning. We ask that you may help us in our weaknesses. We ask that, Lord, you may heal those who are sick, that you may strengthen those who need strength, and those who are depressed, that you may give grace, O God, to your people, to your humble ones. We ask in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say Amen. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. I will start by just saying it is a great joy again to stand before you and ready to bring the Word of God. So please turn in your Bibles then to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 3. We are continuing on our series of study on the Gospel according to Matthew. Who is this Jesus? For Jesus is no longer known among the people. Only his name is being shouted. So we are looking at who Jesus is. And Matthew is telling us that Jesus is the King of the Jews. Jesus is the Savior of the world. If you look at chapter number 1, verse 21, it says, he has come to be the Savior, to save his people from their sins, to save those who will believe in him. As we look at the genealogy of Jesus, we see in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, it includes the Gentiles. It shows us that Jesus himself did not only come for the Jews, but he also came for those who are non-Jews, every tongue and every nation in the world. Jesus has come to save. So where we are this morning is Matthew, but it's Matthew chapter 3. We're picking up where we left off. And I'm going to read then from verse 1 to verse 12, just for the context. But we're just going to look at verse 1 only this morning. Matthew chapter 3. It reads as follows. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and is thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. This message is the first under the title John and His Message. John the Baptist and His Message. We shall look this morning only at John and introduce really this chapter 3, so that as we look in the days to come in the message of John, then we understand who John is. So there are two things I want us to see this morning. First, that John appeared in the wilderness. So John was a man set apart. Secondly, John came preaching, which means John came with a message set apart. Although we're not going to look much into his message this morning. The last time we looked at chapter 2, the boy Jesus returned from Egypt and he went to live in a place called Galilee, in a city called Nazareth. In that we saw a picture of his humility before God, a picture of humility before man, a king who will not seek high honor for himself, a king who will not demand the services of kings like the kings of the world, but he who condescended to the lowest of life and associated himself with sinners and humbled himself before God for the sake of sinners. He who was willing to put upon himself a form of a man. He was mocked, he was despised, he was scorned by those he came to save. And now, in chapter number 3, he's grown up. There is a gap of 30 years between chapter 2 and chapter 3. Jesus now, he has grown up. He's a man now. He's entering into a ministry. But I want us to briefly look at John, as I said. John, who comes before Jesus Christ. The Bible says he comes to prepare a way for the Lord, as the prophets have said. So Matthew really introduced us here in verse number 1 to a man named John. We know him as John the Baptist. Actually, his right name is John the Baptizer. So Matthew is not concerned about John's background, but Matthew is concerned about John, the man himself, and the ministry that he's bringing before us, the ministry that he's leading at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. John is not the man. John is sent before the man. John is sent to prepare the way. John is sent ahead of the bridegroom. So in other words, Matthew is saying Jesus will be more significant in everything than John. So Matthew is still trying to authenticate and tell us really and surely this is the Jesus. This is the man who has to come into the world. So John appeared in the wilderness, as we see in verse number 1. A dry and a desolated area, a picture of the hearts of those John will prepare for the Lord, those he will call unto God, dry and spiritual bankrupt hearts. Just as God said that when his son comes into the world, when his son will begin his ministry, he will send his servant beforehand. He will send the one who will be like a forerunner, someone who comes before to prepare a way, who will prepare the way for the Lord. Actually, who will speak to the hearts of men. Preparing the way of the Lord is to tell the people about the one who's coming, is to turn the people from their wicked ways to the one who's coming. It is written in Malachi chapter 3, if you just turn back to the last book of the Old Testament before Matthew, it's Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, we read verse number 1. We see what the Lord says about himself. We see what the Lord says about the forerunner who was to come into the world. So Matthew is telling us then, in other words, in verse 1, that this is another fulfillment of prophecy. He's pointing to us that surely this is the Son of God. The whole Old Testament speaks of him. Verse number 1, Malachi chapter 3, it says, behold, I sent my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. God had promised that he will send a servant. God has promised that he will send someone set apart. You open Luke chapter 1, verse 76 to verse 80. Hear what we read about John. And you, child, it speaks of John the Baptist, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of God, whereby the sunrise will visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of the death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child will grow and become strong in spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance. So John remained in the wilderness until the day that he would appear to Israel. Why must he appear to Israel? To present, to bring the good news, to tell about Jesus, that Jesus has already come. So he would stay in the wilderness until that time has come for him to introduce the Messiah, to call others into the kingdom of God. If you read in verse number 2, it tells us that he came to call people to the kingdom of God, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You read in verse number 8, it tells us that John came to denounce heresy. John came to rebuke the hypocrites. He says in verse number 8, show fruits in keeping with repentance. We'll look at that. Then we see that also John came to warn those outside the kingdom of God. In verse number 10, he's saying, the axe is now laid at the roots of every tree who does not bear fruits. That is a man set apart for God, by God. So, Matthew is showing us then that this Jesus who's coming, who is now in the world, is the Son of God. By showing to us that the messenger which God has promised is already in the world. And John comes from the wilderness and he preaches the good news of the kingdom of God. So now Matthew, after having introduced the Lord Jesus Christ in his genealogy, after having told us of who Jesus is, he gives us this man, a great man, John the Baptist. Listen to what Jesus said about John the Baptist. As we see that this man was a man set apart. In Matthew 11, verse 11, it says, truly, I say to you, that is Jesus speaking now, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. That's the word of Jesus is telling us, that John the Baptist was set apart by God, set apart for God. As we read here in Luke chapter 1, verse 76 to 78. John is a man set apart. That is what we're trying to prove today. He's a man set apart. And you shall see that he's also a man set apart, for his message was also set apart. So in John we see a man set apart whose interest is in the kingdom of God. That's what men set apart are. Their interest is in the kingdom of God. Their interest is in the king of the kingdom. Because there are people who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They have turned away from sin. They have forsaken the world. You see that in the picture. John comes in the wilderness, separated from men. A man set apart is the one separated from men, not isolated from men. There's a difference. When you're isolated from people, you have got nothing to do with the people. You're staying alone, but being separated means you are separated, you are set apart, but you're still having a relationship with the people. That's why the Bible says, Christian must separate from worldliness. Christian must separate from the people of the world. But it doesn't say we must isolate or we must be taken out of the world. So his coming in the wilderness speaks of separation, not merely physical separation, but we speak of one separated and consecrated to God, one who is kept for the glory of God, one who knows that Christ lives within him. One who will not associate himself with the world. As Psalm chapter number 1 would say, blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, in the ways of the wicked. That is the man. But his delight is in the law of God. You remember how John was separated? The Bible tells us in Luke chapter number 1 that his father was in the temple and he was praying, and God came, the angel of God came and told Zechariah and said, you will have a son. But Zechariah was old. The Bible tells us that he was in a position where they could not have a child. But God said, you will have a son. But listen to what God says about the son in verse 13 to 17. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayers has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be greater before the Lord, and he must not drink wine. Listen, now this is a separate, somebody who's different. He must not drink wine or strong drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from the womb of his mother. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn their hearts of the fathers to the children. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready the Lord's a people prepared. John is set apart. John is a man consecrated to God. John is a man sent out to represent those who are in Christ, those in a covenant with God. He was set apart from his mother's womb. He's one who will abstain from worldly things. One who will prioritize God and his word. That is what we're talking about when we say someone is set apart. One who knows that things are all about Jesus. His life is about God. One consecrated to the service of God. We're not talking about some Chinese monk or a Roman Catholic nun who separates himself or herself from human society because of some rules which are man-made rules. You're talking about someone separated for the glory of God, separated by the Spirit of God, someone who is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. That is what we're talking about when we're talking about someone separated for God. One who will become a living sermon to others. One who will stand there and people will read and know that Jesus does this in the lives of people. One who will be a true representative of Jesus Christ. One who will be the true image of the Son of God. Set apart. I don't know if you think of yourself as one who is set apart. The book of Samuel chapter 1 verse 10 to 11. There's another great example of being set apart. Is seen in this prayer of Anna, the mother of Samuel, who prayed long years and long praying for a son, praying for God to provide. It says she was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. That is the mother of Samuel. And she vowed a vow and said, listen to the vow, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the afflictions of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him, she will give this son to the Lord and all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. Someone who's separated is somebody who's been given to God. Friends, we are given to God in our acceptance, in our belief, in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are given to God by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we believe in him, we are set apart for God. And we should live then likewise. So Samuel was set apart as well. John then was that kind of a man, was such a man. John chapter number 1, verse 6 to 7. Listen to what the gospel according to John says about John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. So we realize that John came from God to bear witness about the light. So as we are set apart, as people set apart for God, we are set apart to bear witness about God, to bear witness about the light, so that we may be light ourselves. We need to be the light of the world ourselves. We know that Jesus is the light, but we must shine our own light in the world so that the people may see our good works, then praise our God. So the Holy Spirit was upon John. The word of God was in his mouth. The law of God was written on his heart. He delighted in the Lord. Law of God written in the hearts of men. And only that is through the works and the power of the cross. Because when Adam fell, when Adam sinned, the law of God that was written in the hearts of men was overshadowed by the sinfulness and the depravity of men, the weariness and the power of the flesh. And no one from that time respect, honor, or keep the law of God that is in the heart. Although we know it, but you are unable to help yourself from sinning. You continue in sin until Jesus Christ comes. And rewrite that law in the hearts of men. Put in you a heart of flesh. And take away the heart of stone. So that he may cause you to go in the statues of the Lord. And sprinkle you with the Spirit of God. Sprinkle you with the Spirit, of grace. That is a person set apart from God. That is a person we see in John the Baptist. And that is what we are then, friends, in Jesus Christ. Because John is just someone coming, representing a greater person. He's representing someone who's mightier than he. Someone who's sinless, no one is worthy to carry. So, really, the attention is not to John. Really, our focus is not to be like John, but to be like the person who's coming. And I'll show you why. So, that is what we are in Jesus Christ, because Christ reigns within our hearts and we live to bring glory to him then, because he is that great example and he is that life giver, and through him then we are inwardly cleansed from sin and separated and dedicated to God. Through him we are not just separated from the world, but from the desires of the world. It doesn't mean we do not like or want the beauties of the world, but it means we do not want it if it separates us from God. We do not want the things of the world if it will quench the Holy Spirit of God in our hearts. We do not want the things of the world if it will make our faith to go cold rather than to prioritize God. God first, everything comes afterwards. So when we are set apart, we are set apart by God, and we are set apart for God. That is very important. Set apart for God, not for yourself, for God. What you do is not for you, but for the sake of the one who hanged at the cross on your behalf. So your character says it if you are in Christ. Your faith in God says it. You are no longer living like the pagans. You do not continue in your sin because you have been set apart by God. You are like the picture of one in the wilderness. You are different to the world that you're living in. Look at verse number 4. How John looked different. It says here, now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locust and wild honey. It doesn't mean we must eat like John. It doesn't mean we must wear like John. But it tells you that John was different from the people. We see a picture of someone in the wilderness. Someone who knows that I'm not home, but I'm going home. And I'm going to be different than the people of the world. And my difference must be infused to the life and the society in this world. What does it help to be different and then make no difference in other people's lives? John is different, but he wants to make a difference. He appears in the wilderness. Doesn't help him to sit in the wilderness. So, my friends, when you are in Christ, when you are set apart, you are no longer living like a pagan. You do not continue your sin. Your life is no longer characterized by sexual immorality, by impurity, sensuality, idolatry, witchcraft, enmity and strife, jealousy, drunkenness, and all other things. You are separated for Christ. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 21. A very beautiful verse. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We must be set apart for God, because we are set apart by God. But secondly, he had a message also that was set apart. That's the reason why he was set apart. It says he came preaching. He was set apart to be faithful to Christ, to faithfully present the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring a message to a strange and a foreign land, a land indifferent to God, a land in enmity to God. John was set apart to bring the very same message which the Lord Jesus Christ brought when he began his ministry. The Bible tells us that when Jesus started his ministry, verse number 17 of chapter 4 in the Gospel of John, of Matthew. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So John is set apart not just as a man being set apart. That is good, that is alright. But he's also set apart because he has a set apart message. He is entrusted with the gospel. Don't tell me you are not entrusted with the gospel, because you are. If you are in Christ, you are entrusted with the gospel. You can read Matthew 28 from verse 18 to 20, saying, "Go unto the world and preach and bring everyone and baptize them, tell them everything, teach them the things that I taught you." So John is set apart because he has a special, a set apart message from the Lord. He was given the right to be the light of the world. Jesus says about John the Baptist in John, the Gospel, chapter 5, verse 35. He says, "John was a burning and a bright shining light." The very man who was wearing camel's clothes, and he had this very ugly belt. But he was a burning and a shining light. Why? Because he carried the message of God. Because he ushered the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was going ahead of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we now have got a better privilege, because we are not going ahead of Christ. He is like a shepherd, is leading, and we're following him. And then we can see in Christ how to live. John didn't have that kind of an example. We have too. We have got the witness of Christ. We've got the witness of the Holy Spirit that needs to speak in our hearts. He had a set apart message. It was a burning and a shining light. He came proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, telling people about somebody who will save everyone who comes to him. If you will come to him, Jesus will never let you go. He came telling people to free from the rat, to come, to run to God, not to run away from God. What we see today is people running away from God, but we need to run to God, because he alone can save you. Run to God, because this world is a sinking ship, and it will soon be consumed by fire. And Christ will be the judge. The same one who came in peace and says, "Come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But he will come on the last day, never saying and not saying again, "Come to me." And he will come and say, "My faithful servant, come to the kingdom which my father has prepared for you from the foundation of the earth." And those who have done evil, those who have done bad, he will say to them, the Bible says he will put them on the left hand side like goats, and he will say to them, "Go to the eternal fires, you workers of lawlessness and evil." So we see that a man set apart put God first. You will live your life faithfully because of the gospel, because of Christ, and because of the church. So that the unbelievers may not scorn the work of Christ and the ministry of the word because of your conduct. and your life will be characterized then by love, because Jesus, God, is love. It will characterize by joy, by peace, by patience, by kindness, by goodness, by faithfulness, by gentleness, by self-control. Such a person, my friend, is truly in Christ. He has crucified the flesh with all of its passions and desires. And the Spirit of God helps him then in weakness by making intercession with groaning that cannot be uttered. God Himself making intercessions for us. Because we have the message in this world. The only message that brings life. Another thing that we need to realize is that John was set apart because of the holiness and the righteousness of the one after him. So we are set apart not just because we must be this good and nice people in the world and help those who are poor and give two rents to those who ask. No, we are set apart because of the one now before us. The Holy One of God. The one whose sandals no one is worthy to carry. The one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. We are set apart because of that man. Listen to what Jesus Christ says here in John chapter 15, verse 16. Very beautiful words. So that we can see that we are not set apart for yourself. You are not set apart for your own good, but the good of Christ. He says, "You did not choose me." I know we know this verse. "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide." So, John is set apart because of the one after him, a mighty man, a man of great honor, a man whose sandals none is worthy to untie. So he came preaching because of the man. Why are we preaching? We don't preach because we want this church to be full. We are not faithful because we want this church to be full. John was not preaching because he wanted people to come to him. John was preaching because there was someone after him who was coming. But we preach because there's someone before us, one who we follow. We are preaching because Christ needs all the glory. We are preaching because the world, the people of Olivet, are worshipping idols. But there's one that must be worshipped, Jesus Christ, and only through the preaching of the gospel. We are preaching so that we ourselves may know him and even know him more. It is because of Jesus. So he was set apart to bring glory to God, to play a very significant role in God's plan of salvation, to be the herald of the good news of the kingdom of God, to point to Jesus, a man set apart to carry our own sorrows, a man set apart to carry our sins into the cross. Jesus Christ, that's the one John was pointing to, a man who will die at the cross and suffer on our behalf. That is why he was preaching. So he was asking his fellow brothers and sisters of the time to come. Come, there is a man who's coming after me, who's greater than me. It was all about Jesus, who came to live among us so that we may see the exact imprint of God's nature in him. He came to live among us and make purification for sin. Listen to these very beautiful words of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 16, about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness." Listen what he said about Jesus. "He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by the angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up in glory." That is the Christ we worship. That is the man who has set apart himself, Jesus, for this purpose, that he may set us apart. So verse 1 gives us then the clue that John was set apart. It gives us the clue that his message was set apart. His message was a message of repentance. Now we're going to the message of John, right? Not into details, we've got other weeks to do that. But number one, his message was a message of repentance. His message was a message with the purpose of reconciliation with God. People must be reconciled to God. Because people are in enmity with God. People are in sin, but they need to repent
John is bringing a message of repentance.
The call to repentance. In verse number 2, you can read in your Bible.
Repent. 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 That's the message of John. A call to a change of mind, a change of attitude, a change of heart. Not simply remorse about your sin, but a complete turn from unbelief, a complete turn from wickedness, and a turn from your sin to God. Repent. That is the message of John. He has this desire that his fellow brothers and sisters will be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of the devil, to the kingdom of God. And only through repentance. Why repent? For the kingdom of God. For someone is here who is a king in a kingdom. You cannot be a king in a kingdom unless you have inhabitants, people in the kingdom. He says, repent so that you may be part then yourself of the kingdom. That is John. So in his message of repentance, we see that it was that message that brought the crowds to him, like I said to you. You read in verse number 6, in verse number 5, it says, all Jerusalem and Judea came to him. They came to him. It doesn't mean we're not going to go and preach to the people. But the message is the one that must bring the crowd. The message is the one that brings conviction, that makes converts. It is the message that made converts for John. And it is going to be the message that makes converts for us. So when the converts came and they were baptized in the river Jordan. Verse number 6. And they were confessing their sins. Very important. They were confessing their sins. They recognized, they realized that now they are entering a new thing where sin does not dwell. They have to confess their sin. His message was a call to something very special. The kingdom of God. We'll speak about the kingdom of God. It's a very big subject. I cannot unpack it right now. But his message was pointing to this something beautiful. Just keep it in your mind. Something beautiful. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. Sometimes it is called the kingdom of God. Kingdom of heaven is the same thing. But his message was a call to that something special. That a dawn of God. The reign of Christ and the reign of God in the world has come. The reign of God is at hand. God's universal dominion and Christ's reign is at hand. So John is expressing hardly the truth that God himself has drawn near to his people. That is what the kingdom of God is about. The very God who hates sin decides to draw near to his people. The very God who descended on Mount Sinai and people could not touch the mountain. Animals died because of his holiness. The God who hates sin decided to come and draw near to his people. Grace. 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 That is the message of John. But thirdly, his message was a message of commitment. We see that in verse number 6. He preached and he required people to recognize the message, to recognize and commit themselves to the message. You cannot be a person set apart unless you're also committed to God. One must repent, that is commitment. One must confess sin, that is a sign of commitment. So John baptized them, and in that baptism, it was an acknowledgement that they were taking, that they acknowledge their sin first, and they're acknowledging the holiness of the one who's coming. They are accepting the kingdom at hand. That is what commitment is about. I'm acknowledging my sin, I'm acknowledging the holiness of God, and I'm committing myself to him. But we also see, lastly, that his message was a warning of judgment. John preached on the wrath of God against those outside the kingdom, against those who refuse to repent. Verse number 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to him to be baptized, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?
Verse 10 as well, it says, even now the axe is laid at the root of the tree, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. John is laying the axe on the tree, on those who are unbelievers. He's telling them exactly what is going to happen if they keep on unbelieving. He's telling us exactly what will happen if we do not turn from our wickedness to Christ. He says, the axe is at the root already. Judgment has come already. People love darkness because their works are evil. And those who are found in unbelief, they will face the judgment of God. That is the message of John. And also, it's coming strongly against hypocrites. You know who are the hypocrites? Those who claim and act like they are one of us, but they are not one of us. You can see in their character. You can see the way they treat their spouse, the way they treat the people around them, the word that comes from their mouth. But when they come here, it's always hallelujah, amen, and glory to God. John was against hypocrites. He says in verse 8 to 9, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not presume to yourselves that you will say, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children of Abraham. He was against hypocrites. That is the message. A message set apart is a message of repentance. Message that speaks of the kingdom. Because if you speak of the kingdom, you speak of the king. A message of commitment. A message that tells us there is a wrath to come. So he was a set apart man with a set apart message. We must be set apart people, must also have a set apart message. But we must also honor the set apart message. We must believe it and we must live it. We must do it. Have you then honored the message? Have you honored the fact that God showed grace to you and set you apart? Have you honored the invitation to the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of heaven? Have you honored that call to commitment? Are you committed to Jesus? Are you committed to his flock? Are you committed to the body of Christ? Have you taken into consideration the warning that John is giving, that the axe is already laid? But here's a bigger even warning. Have you considered this warning in verse number 11? He says, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Listen very carefully, verse number 12. His winnowing fork is in his hands, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat unto the barn. And the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. There is wheat, there is chaff. Jesus is coming to put aside his wheat, and then he will burn the chaff. He will not just blow the chaff so that it disappears and it will be used sometime. He will burn the chaff. As we think of these things, as we meditate, remember, John was a man set apart. We must be set apart. But he also was a man with a message set apart. Honor the message set apart. Leave that message set apart. Let it be seen in your life. May the good Lord bless you as I pray. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you for your message this morning, for reminding us of Christ, who himself is a man set apart, that he may set us apart. He who died at the cross, he who carried our sins, that he may present us before you holy and blameless. Thank you for the study of John the Baptist, that he was a man set apart, with a message set apart. We thank you for the message set apart that is also preached by Christ. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Thank you for your people who are repenting right now. Thank you for your people who are coming to you right now, anywhere in the world, with this message and other messages that are preached. May Christ be glorified. Amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord,
the glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen.
May the good Lord bless you and keep you until we meet again. And thank you, Auntie Shares, for visiting us.